Hey, welcome to Highly Questionable. Dan couldn't get time off his other job, so I am here, Dominique Foxworth, L. Duncan. Let's go.
Should the Bucks let Giannis play tonight?
All right. Shout out to the Bucks, by the way, because it was looking like a 1-2-3 Cancun Classic to start that game on Sunday, on Monday. But somehow they actually found a way to win. It's not really going to matter because they're not going to win the series, and that part matters because why are you going to bring Giannis out there on a bum wheel if they're not going to win the series? He's one of those super competitor guys. He wants to get out there at all times. And if you're Milwaukee, now you're torn because on one hand, you don't want to wear him out because you might want to keep him. But if you want to keep him, you might need to play him because playing him is the thing that he wants. Good luck figuring that out, guys, because you're going home regardless.
Yeah, if his ankle isn't bum, I say play him, but maybe pull him out in the fourth quarter because he has been so bad in the fourth quarter. In fact, the Bucks in general have been awful in the fourth quarter, but in particular when Giannis is on the floor, I think in point differential they are minus 32 when he plays in the fourth quarter and plus 7 when he does not. They're not a team that knows how to close out at this point, which, Bo, we talked about this last week, comes down to the fact that your best player, your number one player, doesn't know how to shoot the ball. That's exactly what you need down the stretch, right? Which is why they've got the number one clutch defense and the number 11 clutch offense in the NBA. A big part of why they won that game and what started all of this talk about are the Bucks better without Giannis is simply because what happened? Their defense showed up in that fourth quarter, despite the fact that their hero, Chris Middleton, was blanked in that quarter too. It was just an anomaly. They didn't get good shooting on Miami's side. Do not play Giannis if he's still hurt. But if he is, just take him out in the final frame.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what you gain by playing Giannis. If we all believe that it's unlikely that they're going to win this series with a healthy or unhealthy Giannis, why do you put him back out there? If potentially you're going to trade him, which some people are talking about, then you gain nothing by putting him out there and risking injuring him. If you're going to keep him, you gain nothing by putting him out there and risking injury. And I do think I understand the point that maybe he wants to play, but I feel like you can sell to him, we really care about you. This is why you should stay here, is because we're not going to put you in jeopardy. Much more you can sell after he goes out there and exaggerates whatever injury he has, or the compensating for this ankle injury makes something else go wrong. Like, you are in a lose-lose in a situation where you really don't have a chance to win the series because his ankle's not going to get better playing on it. So you're going to win this series, potentially. Let's say hypothetically they win this series, and then Giannis on a bum ankle is going to win two more series. That's the only reason to play him if you think that you're going to win a championship this year, and I think that's not happening.
Well, Dominique, let me ask you this. You, from the professional athlete perspective, can you tell the rest of these guys, well, we ain't really going to win it anyway, right? Because that is kind of the signal that you are giving when you say that to the other dudes. We don't really think we're going to win. So why are they even here?
No, you can absolutely tell them something different. I am not a fan of lying, but I am a fan of properly framing this. It doesn't take very long for you to say, hey, remember what happened last year to Kevin Durant? We care about Giannis and we care about you. So we will not put you or Giannis in a situation like that. We want to do our best. You guys played well and won the game without him. Now is your time to shine. The whole world is watching you play. I'm going to pull Giannis, more touches for you. Let's get your money up. Let's get your time to shine. Like, that's not a hard thing to sell.
Did you just give him a participation trophy?
Oh, God. Fox.
Look, man, if this turns into the time that my homie White Dante becomes the star that he's destined to be, then I'm with the Dominique plan. Let's make that happen. Go get it, Dante.
This is your time to shine, kids.
I mean, yes.
That's awful, Fox.
Yo, but
it's not awful when you get a contract off of it. No.
And on every roster, there's one dude that sees it that way. If Dion Waiters played on that team, Dion Waiters be going to the coach and being like, hey, coach, I know Giannis can't play. I'm just here to let you know. Ready to step up.
Do the Clippers feel like a juggernaut to you?
Didn't the Clippers get smoked in game two, right? Didn't the Clippers get like 32 from Paul George and 23 from Kawhi Leonard, and really that was about it from everybody else here? No, they don't look like a juggernaut to me. They were down at halftime in this game to the Nuggets, in fact, and were down some fairly decent margins going through the course of this. The reason it's hard for me to see the Clippers as being a juggernaut is they always feel like they're either this close to putting it all together or this close to it all falling apart, because they are one of the few teams that you can watch, and even when they play well, you're like, they don't really enjoy this situation very much. They've got the pieces, but I still feel like they've got holes. I still feel like everybody has to go out there and get their own shots. It just so happens that nothing is easier than getting shots when you're playing against the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously not a juggernaut, but they do seem to be able to hit this switch that we say that no team can actually hit. When they need a big game or they need a big moment, it seems that they've been able to find that throughout the playoffs so far and oftentimes throughout the regular season. But the opponents matter. It's hard for me to say that they're a juggernaut given that this team didn't exist last year and the teams that they've beaten so far. Again, the Nuggets, who've been interesting, but they're nobody's pick to win the finals. And prior to that was a team that was led by Luka Doncic, who's a young guy coming to his own, but they were without Porzingis, the other supposed star on that team. So it's hard for me to say that they're a juggernaut when they haven't even dominated these mediocre, I guess, playoff opponents.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate and say that maybe that's the point, is that no, they're not a juggernaut by any means. They're not getting contributions from Lou Will yet. They're not really getting great contributions from Montrezl Harrell. Kawhi Leonard's been very up and down. Paul George looks like the funk is finally over for him, and he's now playing that two-way player defense and offense that we've come to expect from Paul George, even though we haven't really seen it in the playoffs. And they're still winning. Like, that's the point. This is a team that had almost no chemistry before the season was put on hiatus. We're tinkering with their lineups, really had not spent a significant amount of time on the floor together, and they're still finding a way to win games, because even if they're not impressing necessarily on the box score, they're just finding a way to win. So they've got that sort of Kawhi championship pedigree and the fact that they're not out of these games. And maybe that scary is that at some point they will sort of figure this thing out, but as of now they're not a juggernaut by any means. However, I'm very compelled by potential all-A NBA Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, finding a way to win is a euphemism for not really playing that well, right? But we don't have like an actual explanation for how they're getting this done. They just found a way to get it done. Well, what did they find? A way to get it done.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie Show.
Jamal Murray's got the ball here on the wing. There we go. He goes. Oh, no. Yo, like, audacious do you have to be to try that in the fourth quarter? You ain't even got all your legs, and Kawhi Leonard just has the strongest fingers in the world. Excuse me, finger. He gave you the bird to block your dunk. He should have made that. I'm sorry, man. Like, we should be here talking right now about how are the Clippers going to play without broken finger Kawhi Leonard.
Do you question if Jamal Murray should have made this dunk?
Yo, this was really ambitious, because I don't think a Jamal Murray is being the type of player who tries to do these kinds of things. But let's roll it. Jamal Murray's got the ball here on the wing. There we go. He goes.
Oh, no.
Yo, like, audacious do you have to be to try that in the fourth quarter? You ain't even got all your legs, and Kawhi Leonard just has the strongest fingers in the world. Excuse me, finger. He gave you the bird to block your dunk. He should have made that. I'm sorry, man. Like, we should be here talking right now about how are the Clippers going to play without broken finger Kawhi Leonard.
I mean, that's a shot. I mean, that's a dunk you have to kind of attempt. I feel like when you're an up-and-comer, I know it seems symbolic, but that matters. That emotionally matters. If you're able to bang on Kawhi, that does something for your team that I think is outmatched in this situation. They're going to lose this series anyway, but I might have a little faith of them pulling out that fourth quarter and maybe going forward if I felt like Jamal Murray could bang. I know this is not the deep statistical analysis that you're looking for, but watching your best player bang on their best player, it feels good. It gives you confidence. You play well going forward after that happened.
That's what he gets for trying to outdo Michael Porter Jr., who had already yammed on someone. So, like, that was what I think he was just inspired by him, which was it was an absolute nasty dunk.
Shouldn't they just build a team around him? Like, let's stop playing. Let's trade away all the pieces you have to trade away and start building the team around Porter Jr. That's my belief. I feel that way.
You build that team around Porter Jr., and you're going to be like them old Paul Westhead Nuggets teams. You're giving up 185 points a game. I'm not sure Michael Porter can guard anybody that's on this set right now. But let me look at this dunk one more time, because I had somebody tell me that the thing people don't get about Kawhi Leonard is that he might be the strongest dude in the league. This dude sends this back with one finger.
A finger.
Like, you got to go to the weight room after that, Jamal Murray.
It is an abnormally long finger, though, Bo. I mean, it was the source of a trademark lawsuit with Nike. Like, it's a significant finger.
Rim is what sent it back. I know the finger slowed it down enough to hit the rim, but the rim is what sent it back. I mean, wasn't just a thing.
Are you guys related to Jamal Murray? Are y'all Canadians? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way around this, man. He came up short. Like, if you're going to try to go that hard, you can't get sent back with one finger. All right, Foxworth out here talking about the rim sent it back. Look at this. Yeah, that's like the rim sending it back.
That makes my case. Like, are we looking at the same
picture? Actually kind of does help Fox a little bit here.
Thank you. That man's full arm is leaning forward, but the rim sends it back. I think Kawhi caused him to miss the dunk. He blocked the shot. That's right. But saying that his fingers sent it back is so disrespectful and false.
I feel like the producers sent me out here on a foolhardy mission.
They did.
Do you question this disqualification?
All right, so we got this thing here with the U.S. Open on the men's side of the draw. We have no Federer. We have no Nadal. Everybody's money's riding on Djokovic. He's the guy people have heard of. Here's why Djokovic ain't going to be playing no more tennis. You know, he's got a tendency to, like, you know, do impulsive things, and that impulsive thing hit an older woman in the throat. I don't know what he thought he was doing, but he realized very quickly that the end result was a problem. No, don't touch me, man. Don't touch me. Like, she really went back on the please don't touch me. He was disqualified. He was real bummed out about it. And you kind of have to do it, man. You can't hit people in the throat with tennis balls. That is an automatic out the club.
So you're saying that he did that intentionally?
Yes. I'm not saying he did it intentionally. I'm saying he hit that woman in the throat, and that's the only part that matters.
That's not the only part that matters. I think in certain situations, intent doesn't matter. In this situation, I think intent matters, especially since it's messing up everybody's money, as you said off the top, and messing up everybody's entertainment. Like, she's all right. Toughen up. If you can't take a tennis ball, maybe you shouldn't be on the line. Like, maybe you need a mask.
What?
We need to solve this problem. Maybe you need to get quicker hands. I mean,
if you're down there. Take a tennis ball to the throat.
Quick hands. If you're a line judge, if you out there, if you're a ball boy or girl, if you somebody who have their feet on the court at the U.S. Open, you need to be quick enough. Get your hands up. Get that thing off your neck.
For a man that can serve like 115 miles an hour, I don't know. It was a bit dramatic. It sort of looked like the beginning of a Rascal commercial. Like,
the fact that he can serve it at 115 doesn't mean that he didn't serve it at like 96.
That looked like a 96 mile per hour. Is that what that looked like to you, Bo? No.
She's flopping. I'm
fine.
I don't
know how to count miles. No. Like, you can just count miles per hour off of video.
No.
Yeah,
no.
What is that radar gun in your eye telling you that was? Like, I just don't know how much more disrespect everybody other than me can throw to this woman in this time. I'm the only person here that is worried about her protection. And let us not forget, by the way, that Djokovic is the dude that was on that anti-vaccine thing. He threw a little tournament in Europe. They all went out, and then they caught the COVID, and then this happens. He has been messing it up for everybody for the entirety of 2020. That's the whole theme of his year. I'm here to mess it up for everybody.
Do you question if this punter is playing the wrong position?
All right, we're going out to youth football, which seems like a horrible idea right now. But all right, let's see what we got.
Terrible field condition.
Are these really youths?
Look at that field, dude. Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah.
Yo. Wow.
Fumble risky.
It's like when one of them Australia rules football players goes to the NFL and runs the fake punt. This is how they get down.
It's a big
boosh.
Play.
Yeah, they all do kind of look like they're grown men, just short ones. They don't really look like youth football players. But, I mean, to the question, obviously he's not playing the wrong position, because when you're the best player on the team, there is no wrong position. He's clearly the guy who takes care of everything. He kicks the field goals. He kicks off. He punts. He probably plays quarterback. He plays running back on short yardage situations. He's the middle linebacker in the safety. That's what happens when you play youth football. You have one good player who does everything.
Yo, and Dominique, you could probably vouch for this too. Something people don't realize. You might think the kicker is just like some guy that's out here doing this specialized thing. The punter used to be good at something else too.
Yeah. I mean, in the NFL, the punters are good at other things. They're not good enough to be
soccer.
NFL players. They got plenty of time to work out. They are some of the strongest people you will meet.
Tonight at 7:05, White Sox and Pirates.
All right, we're going to take a look at some of Eloy Jimenez. He plays for the White Sox. Some of his greatest hits. It's not hits, it's defensive plays, but let's get a look at it.
Catch it. Now look, that's ridiculous time.
Yeah, he's in left field. Yeah, you may recall the over-anxious center fielder, that Luis Robert. Coming to get that? That's right.
Yeah.
So basically, nobody lets Eloy Jimenez catch the ball. Isn't he supposed to be good? Dominique,
no.
You intrigued?
No.
No, he's not good?
No. That's the no. He's not good. No, that's the point. He's a really good hitter, Bo. Where is the? Did the producers collect the greatest hits of him literally falling into the net, crashing into the wall, and concussing himself and tripping and like he sucks at outfield, dude. So that's just them saving him from himself. That's self-preservation, son.
Wow, did you can tell which of us host SportsCenter because she had all the baseball information and couldn't wait. I wasn't even talking to her. Dominique, are you intrigued?
I'm not intrigued. I don't have cards, though. How do you get cards? And I don't have no cards. I'm not intrigued by the baseball. I am intrigued by Elle giving me more highlights from baseball because I don't know. What else do I need to know about Eloy Jimenez?
All you got to do is just Google Eloy Jimenez and like him falling into nets and crashing through the wall. He's been doing this for 2 years. He's like a pretty bad left fielder, dude.
This is just a running joke on the team. It's like they just going to clown my man. Or not a joke. They're like, we don't want you to mess this up. So we're going to come over and save you.
And we got more from Luis Robert last night. Let's check it out. In the air left center. It's Robert. He really did it again.
Yeah.
Yo, man, they are disrespecting this man. If it's like that, why is he not the DH?
That was the worst one, too, because that one, it seemed like he had his glove up like he was calling for it. So it seemed like he got called off.
Hold on, though. Run it back. Does he have his glove up like he's calling for it? Does he have his glove up like he can't see because it's sunny? Like, look at his posture. Is that a man that looks confident that he's about to catch the ball?
No. He did the slide step, which is like, uh-oh, let me, no.
That's fair.
Yeah. They definitely told the kid, yo, man, we're just going to need you to do this.
Yes. Here's the question, Bo. Did Eloy Jimenez leave yesterday's game with a concussion?
No.
Then it was a win.
Tonight at 9 p.m., Game 3, Lakers and Rockets.
So somehow this series has become a lot about Russell Westbrook versus LeBron James. Like, both of them are really into this matchup that is even hard to believe is even a matchup because, you know, they don't play same positions, but, you know, the Rockets play little ball. Anyway, let's go to Game 1. Check this out here. Here we go.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, man. Oh, I can't imagine how mad Russell Westbrook was. Just for it to go like that.
Right.
Oh! Now, let's go to game two.
This is way more disrespectful.
Hey!
Get out of here!
Yeah! We talk about multiple effort plays. Dude, Russell Westbrook is not a man that's accustomed to being treated like this. And there have been stretches in this where you see that Russ has gone a little bit too far because it became personal with LeBron James. Dominique, you intrigued?
I am intrigued. The playoffs have been fun. This matchup is going to be even more fun. But to block somebody's shot like that in the bubble seems worse because the bubble, to me, feels a little bit like how you used to play basketball back in the day where you would have your friends and maybe girlfriends and somebody around the court. It's not a whole stadium full of fans. Like, that's the family section over there. The family section right there. There's no crowd to drown out the noise. There's nowhere to hide. He slapped that thing right into somebody's kids. That is uncomfortable.
Yeah, in front of your queen and in front of your seeds. Not what you want. Elle, are you intrigued?
See, but I'm intrigued because of the disrespect that Russ showed in game one. The reason that LeBron had to slap that ball into the family section is because Russ cussed out the family section. He was cussing out babies after game one. And I want to know, especially after he admitted that he's just sort of lost out there and really hasn't been a factor, I want to know how quickly into the game before he turns around and just takes aim at children.
How has Russell Westbrook not been in a fight in the NBA yet? How has that not happened? All right, that is it. Check L. Duncan out on SportsCenter. Dominique Foxworth at the Undefeated. I have a podcast called The Right Time. You should listen to it. It's fantastic.
It's pretty good.
You ever been in a fight, Bo? I've been in one.
I mean, not since high school.
I got in one fight. It was mistaken identity, too. Some girl mistook my friend for somebody she wasn't and tried to fight her in the parking lot outside of a club in Atlanta, outside the Velvet Room, Bo. And I was like, hey, now. I was trying to play peacemaker. I was like, hey, now, let's not. And she just swung on me.
Wow.
Yeah.
At the Velvet Room.
At the Velvet Room.